the management of Washington is so obsolete now that that's why Trump may, and this is a pretty fantastic prediction by Ion, for most Americans to hear, what, there won't be an election in 4 years? Nope, nobody will want it. Because actually, Trump is removing Washington back up to New York City to be in Trump Towers, where he says he got better security, and what other part of that joke? He says, yeah, I'll move. Congress has got to come up and live in the East River. Remember, he's going to move everything to fucking New York. So we're seeing the destruction of Washington in a great way that...
There.
What?
Didn't he say the security's better there?
Security, yeah, his security's better than the White House.
Yeah.
Because he's had to have it for decades. So, you know, this is very... See, we're actually coming, as usual, coming to a new insight of translating what Ion's saying. He says that recently that Trump can be emperor as long as he wants. He's going to move the operation to New York. He's not going to be able to do anything.
It's not going to serve anyone's interest to go through a presidential election again. The press isn't going to want to do it. The party.
Oh, that's another thing. Yeah, he destroyed the informing part, the myth of information as telling you something you need to know. That's what got wiped out.
That you don't know.
Beg your pardon? Yeah, that you don't know.
Telling you that you don't know something, and we have the information that you need to know.
Right.
So stay tuned. We'll tell you after this commercial break.
Right, and the this is what I meant for 30 years post-information society. You know, post. There's no informing coming to you. It's not even talking to you is a good way to look at this. So the thing that wasn't talking to you has suddenly lost its cover job, and the biggest crisis is in journalism itself this election.
Yes.
So let me read you a bit of this article. Someone sent it to me, Matt Tabai. He's the guy who had a pretty good article in August about, he writes for Rolling Stone, about how journalism was so hypocritical that he was becoming ashamed to be a journalist because they weren't covering the Trump-Clinton thing fairly. They were so anti-Trump, they became propagandists. You know what I mean? To distort their news reporting to make Trump look bad at any cost. Or any style of doing it. And he got mad at them. Well, look at his new content, which I haven't read, but it says, stop whining about false balance. So he said, so I don't know what this is about, but let me read a bit of it. News media outlets. Now, he himself has to come up with a new fucking angle that he had from August. He got here in September. He's got to come up himself with some other weird version, right?
Pivot.
So this sounds like he's flipped here. He says, news media outlets are increasingly coming under fire for the sin of false balance, in quotes, or false equivalency. So what's that? The New York Times, one of the outlets most often accused of this offense, recently defined the term this way. The practice of journalists who, in their zeal to be fair, present each side of a debate as equally credible, even when the factual evidence is stacked heavily on one side. So my impression there is that they're so down on Trump, you can't make Trump even qualify as being equal in a debate. But journalists are trying to be fair. This is what I'm interpreting, and even though there's more to read, let's find out if that's the right interpretation. Is that what you get? Is that what he's saying?
I'm not sure.
He's saying that without factual evidence, they're claiming the debate, both sides are credible. Let's assume that Trump has never been credible from the journalist's point of view because he doesn't present any facts. He's just quadriphenic. So to even say there was a debate between Clinton and Trump is wrong. But the journalists pretend... Now, we present a detached, balanced view. We acknowledge Trump and we acknowledge Hillary. They're both candidates and they have something to say. It looks like, and I don't know if this is what Tobias is saying, but that's how I'm interpreting so far. He's talking about what's called false balance or false equivalency. Okay, so he says, the crime
and
of the New York...
prop up themselves as credible.
Yes, this is, we get, even he's in trouble, maybe. He took the jump and said, you guys, my fellow colleagues, you're lousy. He said, you're fucking scum because you're so anti-Trump. Well, let's see what happened this month. He says, the crime of the New York Times, according to some of his readers, has been its coverage of the Clinton email and Clinton Foundation stories. As one Times reader put it, quote, there's too much at stake in this election for the media to stoke the belief that Hillary's mistakes are even close to par with Trump's. Ah, see, they're trying to say her mistakes are nowhere near the murder that Trump has done. You get that? And he says,
that's
too
funny,
because
everyone knows Hillary's off, people. Everyone knows that. Come on.
Not everybody, but the liberal press won't admit that. They might know it, but they're not. They're so afraid
of
Trump.
Yeah, not that they would admit it, but I mean, like, let's be real. Like, Hillary's had to make decisions that have made people die, for sure.
Well, if you listen to the inventory of her mistakes, she's way worse than Trump, because he wasn't managing nations and having wars, you know.
Yeah.
So, but then maybe he's
stakes
a terrible
a
corporate guy. In business, you know, he's ripping people off with his fake university. So, but anyways, let's just put that aside and see what he's going to say. There's too much at stake in this election for the media to stoke the belief that Hillary's mistakes are even close to par with Trump. So they're saying, we liberals can really get fucked up, or us information generators who want people to believe that we got something to tell you are in trouble if we keep saying that Hillary is equal to Trump in mistakes. I think that's what he's saying. Okay, when Times public editor Liz Spade essentially told readers that her paper was just doing its job and that readers should just suck it up and deal, she was hit with a torrent of criticism. Isn't it great that these fucking idiot journalists are no longer immune to criticism? I think it's great everybody's pissed off at them. For whatever reason, they're really just fucking kicked the shit out because they have not followed Bob's media policy. They want to insist their goddamn content's relevant. And it ain't. Never has been for 30 years.
No.
Right?
No. No.
Yeah. Nothing's relevant anymore, Bob.
That's right. You have to bring in non-physical to get some kind of hint of relevance. That's how bad it got.
Or an anti-irrelevant.
Right. Right. Okay. So then he says, a pack of pundits, what one might call them, the false equivalency, lashed out through preaches like, okay, so the criticism at the journalist led the journalist saying, quote, why the media is botching the election is one title. Another one, media should stop treating Trump and Clinton as equals. Does the New York Times have a false balance problem? And countless others. So apparently, what is he saying here? Lashed out, a pack of pundits lashed out. Maybe they lashed out, okay, they're with the people saying there's too much false equivalency. So maybe that's what the articles say. So Matt Taibbi said, it's getting ridiculous. Two quick thoughts, he says. One, the people complaining about false balance usually seem confident in having discovered the truth of things for themselves, despite the media's supposed incompetence. They're quite sure of whom to vote for and why. Their complaints are really about the impact that false balance coverage might have on other lesser humans with weaker minds than theirs. See, there's the protective information thing, right? We're protecting you. You need to know. Unless you're fucking getting killed. Which is just not snobbies, but laughably snobbies. So shut up, says Matt Taibbi. Two, one of the main reasons the news media has been dumbed down over the years, and his reasoning is going to be all wrong. Do you know that this Matt Taibbi, I met this fucker bad 2007, 2008. I was always going to the Barnes bookstore, so he had a book out, so he came, and he did his thing. So I get up there after and get talking to him, and I start bringing up McLuhan. He says, well, you know, I'm just reading McLuhan now. And I said a few things, well, that's good, blah, blah, blah. So when I met him, he was into McLuhan. So I've sort of watched him a little bit, haven't read much, but said, okay, is he going to learn something from McLuhan? And I don't think he has, because you can't if you're going to be a journalist. You can't apply McLuhan. So anyways, I have what is this called? Full disclosure. I have a vested interest in watching Matt Taibbi, right, because he's the first guy I ever fucking met who you ask him, tell him about McLuhan. He said, well, I'm reading McLuhan right now. That only happened to one other guy, Colin Wilson, the famous occult historian of the 1670s. He did a book called The Outsider. I don't know if you know him. Anyway,
how do you spell his last name, Bob?
Taibbi, T-A-I-B-B-I. T-A-I-B-B-I. Taibbi.
Okay,
so... okay, so he says, one of the main reasons the news media has been dumbed down over the years is because audiences have consistently rejected smart, responsible journalism in favor of clickbait stupidities like, quote, five things you didn't know about John McCain's penis. I guess that's a real article. Another one. Woman strips naked in front of police officers.
Real.
Woman strips naked in front of police officers. You won't believe what happened next. Those kind of what he's calling clickbait stupidities have swamped consistently rejected smart, well, just say smart, responsible journalism. Okay, so he thinks there's fucking good journalism. Big problem here with Mr. Tabai, right? See, he has to believe there is something important in journalism.
Yeah, he has to still be holding on to that.
Yeah, that there's something
that it's an injustice for it to be the way that it is, and it was better then or something.
Yeah, right. So he says, The Bachelor. Now, look at this, The Bachelor. That's you, Gene.
Okay.
The Bachelor and toddlers and tiaras crush Frontline. Frontline is fucking ridiculous. But for New Yorkers, that's the best they got, and they think it's a wonderful bullshit. And so he's falling back into a literate guy objecting to basic TV body reality, right? The Bachelor, the toddlers, these are big deals, big money-making somethings, right? So here he is. Mm-hmm. He's a journalist complaining about TV landscape. And he goes, and people wonder why Donald Trump gets a lot of coverage. Then he says, I don't know about that. I don't know if people are wondering or that they don't wonder. No doubt about it, the country is in a brutal spot right now. They say this every fucking election. This is the most important election ever. We're in big trouble, people. And I noted that like 20 years ago. I said, okay, they're going to repeat that. And I followed them. Yep, they repeated in 80. They repeated in 84. They repeated in 88. They repeated in 92. Did you just say LaRouche?
Yeah. It's all
what about
over.
Him?
It just reads like LaRouche every year or every week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. LaRouche, you're right. LaRouche says it's, if he's not president, we are going to die in a nuclear holocaust. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. The queen's going to be up your butt.
Whoever the president is, impeach him now. Or
you have to give Ian credit. You can bring up any of these fringe topics like the LaRouche Quadrant, and he comes out with the best way. LaRouche is warning us, you don't watch out, the queen will be up your butt.
Oh, my God. I'm getting the chart, Bob. I'm getting the chart. All right.
Yeah. The great way to sum up LaRouche's fear, the queen will end up your butt. Okay. Let's see. Okay, no doubt about it, the country's in a brutal spot right now. We are less than 2 months from the possibility of one of the dumbest people on the planet winning the White House. You see, all this smart, dumb, snob, unsnob, that's his fucking Achilles heel. He doesn't understand that those categories, it's not reality versus truth anymore. There's no difference between dumb and smart. That's what he doesn't get, and he can't.
No.
So what we're hearing, now this is how you get the Bob's sophisticated chart knowledge. We are witnessing the meme of the printing press, which is the newspaper, complaining about the other memes. This is not Matt Taibbi. This is what the newspaper can only say. The newspaper can only tout that it has a point of view and you need to know it. Do you see what I'm saying? This is where the media are battling. No humans involved. This is Matt just being a robot of the newspaper meme, which is be informed. We're going to give you objective information. You need to know this to survive World War X or something. You know what I mean? So this is the meme of newspapers talking.
Can I say the journalist is the object of the newspaper?
The journalist is the fingers being typed. The journalist is nothing. Object is too solid. The object is the newspaper meme itself, and it's fighting other objects, other historical meme dynamics. So this
is
why it's an Android meme. What?
On its way out.
Well, they're all out.
Way out.
Yeah, they've all been out. You've had endless replays for 100 years.
And everything's on its way out and has been out, but still like it's trying to claw back from the grave.
Right, and it can live off the after images till Ion gets here. And now they're in big trouble. But you had for 30 years what I called endlessly shrinking replays of the meme attitude. So the newspaper kept its objective position going with very little actual work. They just put out a fake newspaper, like, you know, these free newspapers in cities. They just kept the newspaper going so somebody could have something to look at on the subway. Okay, there's that level. Just give somebody something to look at, So they don't have to talk to somebody on the subway. Now, they have about 10, a few years ago, 10 of these throwaway newspapers in Toronto. I remember that. I go there. Endlessly free newspapers, and somehow these guys would have some advertising and limp along. But it's the newspaper was desperate to have itself looked at. Okay, so here is Matt. There's no Matt here. Matt has a whole bunch of media assumptions in the newspaper meme that he's acting out here. So you might as well say he's just the production assistant. The actor is a newspaper, something I can look at and read. That's the actor here. You see what I'm saying? And it's a meme. It's an after image.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah.
Yep.
So this is how you get to see what I'm talking about. It's an Android automatic machinic replay of meme dynamics represented by newspaper in one world, radio in another world, TV in another world, computer in one world, satellite broadcasting. Now, they all come together more and more and become a nothing that you edit. You're in charge now. You're bigger than these memes. So this poor guy is writing this column. Who the fuck? Nobody reads it. Who would read this? Yet he probably gets a good job and it's supposed to be a prestigious newspaper. I bet only other journalists read this. You know what I mean? People in the business, like reading press releases from another newspaper down the street. So he says, no
You're
doubt about
it.
I'm reading it for my media hypocrisy, which is
that
to keep
is
this
true.
Show fucking going so that a few people will ascend. Right? We've always admitted that.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I didn't think you were here to help anybody.
I'm not. But I like to brag about what I'm offering. I'm bragging about what I'm offering. So it's all media are games or sports. So I've entered the sport of the fake information society intending to win and wrap up and be the greatest informer ever. All right? That's the game I'm playing. And I could never compete at the success level I am doing without ION, with the unprecedented fucking thing of ION, which is endless information, right? Endless interesting stuff. Having grabbed that golden
fleece. Your approach is not to compete. You do compete, but that's not, you're not approaching.
Yeah, I don't care. And there's no need for me to do this. But it is fun, and Ion likes to do it, so we're doing it for sheer blissful pleasure, and it's like we're beating all the kids up, because we can't be beat.
Yeah.
You can't beat fucking Ion. So we get to be a bully in all kinds of pleasant ways. We can appear like we're not a bully, you know what I mean? We can appear nice and help people and all that. And on the simple help level, we got Dr. Dean. You can't beat Dr. Dean for looking like you're helping people, right?
That's true.
You can't whip that one.
You got Dr. Dean.
Yeah. I've always exploited Carol on that level.
Just relax.
Yeah, I've always exploited Carol on that level. When we first started Cash Flow, she didn't want to talk much. She wasn't that into ION, really. We hadn't made our big gifts from ION. So late 2009, early 2010, if you listen to the archives, Carol never says nothing. And we would just bring her in to say maybe 5 minutes on health stuff. But basically, I had her there because we needed her credibility or whatever the fuck she was offering. She didn't have to say nothing. Just sit here. Be on the board so we look respectable, right? That's what we did. That's what I did. Then, surprise, surprise, she started getting some presents from ION. Then she got into it. Then she became a just another competing asshole on the show, right? With her opinions. And we had to then farm her off to her own show.
To a point.
What?
It's her gift for placating you all these years.
Right. And then she became so important, we had to give her a whole show on Monday where she could be herself, and it's now the most successful show Bill ever had, or he thinks it's the best show he ever had. So, anyway, she's always a winner. But we fully exploit her as much as possible. Now, let's see. So,
yeah, get back to the article, Bob, because the next two paragraphs are hilarious.
All right. But before that, so we're saying I'm competing, doing as a lark. And what's great is I have no management, no advertising to telling me how to control my image. I can do anything I want. So I have the freest situation. Always had the freest situation for competing in. And it's because of that that the Golden Fleece came to me and I won the competition 10 years ago. You know, for, well, not 7 years ago. I won the information war because Ion picked me to show up, right? Anybody else got Ion, they'd win. But I won. So, yes. So we are doing a victory lap for 7 years, miming the Book of Revelation. We faked a battle with the different realms of heaven and all the apocalypses of the last 7 years, all as part of an entertaining victory lap. That's what
wow,
it's been.
The final trumpet blows.
Right. You couldn't. You know, and you got Ion telling me 3 years ago, Bob, watch out for this Trump guy. Something's going to come out of that. I mean, it's so great to have Ion's predictive statements. Okay, which is real journalism. That's really, he was warning people 3 years ago, hey, man, you're going to go nuts when this Trump is finally blown, right? So he warned you. Okay,
yeah,
so he goes.
In that private session, you got 45 minutes to finish the article and play that private session.
What do you mean only 45 minutes?
Oh, no, wait a minute. Sorry, that's my time. Never mind.
Yeah, yeah. I've got another 3 fucking hours.
That's right. I got 3 hours. Okay, go on.
Hey, Bob, did you ever think about the thing a few weeks ago? What was it? Gene, you said you might have thought about the rule of whatever.
No. No, and I was headed over to...
We can abandon that. I'll find it.
What rule?
Yeah, it's piqued my interest though, Nate, because I think there was a part of a private session that I missed that's been kind of egging me too.
Are you talking about what you wanted me to find, Nate?
Yeah, that thing 2 or 3 weeks ago.
All right. Yeah, I remember saying, let's just check in to see if Corbin's still awake. You still awake, Corbin?
Yeah, I'm here. I want to hear Sir Mix-a-Lot, big ol' butt. That's where we're going. Rock and roll,
babe. Yeah, back to the butt fucking thing. We'll get back to the butt issue eventually. Okay.
We'll find out how big Trump's butt is.
Yeah. Okay. So, no doubt about it. The country's in a brutal spot right now, says the newspaper. This is the newspaper talking. Remember, they built democracy 250 years ago on the people need to know, said Ben Franklin, to be an informed democracy. So that meme is what's speaking now. No doubt about it, the country's in a brutal spot right now. We are less than 2 months from the possibility of one of the dumbest people on the planet winning the White House. How fucking hysterical and stupid is that question? You could put the whole quadrifinic thing. The newspaper meme is going through paranoia, hysteria, schizophrenia, and panic, and a little ecstasy. Right? It's doing all that. Each one of these memes is doing the 5 parts of my chart. So he's saying... I mean, that's a silly statement to say that Trump is dumb. And then it says, and it seems that all anyone's talked about this week, whether around the water cooler or on TV news, Twitter or Facebook, is the lung capacity of Hillary Clinton. What does that mean? What's the lung capacity? Is that some of her sickness or?
Her pneumonia.
Oh, yeah, pneumonia. That's another thing. I'm the most informed journalist, and I hardly fucking take any of the facts that happen every day in. I don't even remember or know what the issues are, but... It doesn't matter.
I quit listening to public radio the year that for 6 months all they did was talk about Clinton's penis, Bill's penis.
In 98 in the Lewinsky thing.
Oh, yes. I was commuting at the time and
I've always had it better. I never fucking listened to the fucking thing. I never had to get off it. See?
Yeah, that's smart.
And when I was at Jared Fialka's in the early 93, when we started living in the States, I heard it a bit here and there, and I thought, oh, fuck, man, fuck that shit. So, but I know a lot of you people, you left liberal communists, Marxists, Maoists, anarchists, government workers, all loved NPR. I know about that.
Yeah,
and
it's a
big admission. I actually had to wean my... What?
We were saving the world.
Yeah. Okay. So he's saying all anybody talks about is Hillary's pneumonia. He doesn't understand the first. This is the newspaper meme pretending it doesn't understand what its role is. Why are people interested in important things? You know, that's the fake complaint of the cynical New server meme. This meme is very, this thing, this object that we're reading, the meme itself, is very cynical, but keeps that hidden. It pretends that these issues, it knows these issues don't matter anymore, but they have to follow a script here. And he goes, that sucks. But it's not all the media's fault. This is classic horse race stuff. And if you're getting it, it's at least in part because you spent decades asking for it. So if you're it doesn't mean getting it, understanding.
So getting
it means
it.
That means if you're suffering it, you've been asking for it. I think that's what he means, right? It doesn't mean if you're understanding it, you're suffering. Or you've been asking for understanding.
This is classic horse race stuff, so it's classic. And if you're getting it, it's at least because you spent decades asking for it.
So let's find out what he means, what it is. The campaign has devolved over time into an entertainment. Look, McLuhan said that 50 fucking years ago that politics was entertainment and entertainment was politics, see? So this is silly what he's writing, but this is all that one can write if you're going to write simple sentences in English for a high school educated thing. They say it's grade 8, the level, but you can only write this stuff, you know what I mean,
over
in a limited way.
Yeah, over and over again.
Yeah, and imagine you have to come up with some fucking angle, a slightly different angle every time when you repeat yourself. Holy shit, the stress must be incredible. No wonder they're all alcoholics or heroin addicts or whatever happens to journalists. The campaign has devolved over time into an entertainment program, a degrading and vicious show where the contestants win the nuclear launch codes instead of a date with a millionaire. Well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that because it's only entertainment. Well, it's better that it's entertainment.
And that's describing the TV series Unreal, Bob. I can't get over how no matter what you pick up, it just falls into the gap.
I can't avoid being relevant because relevance is real simple. Yeah, because it's real simple in the Android meme. It's like the real stuff. What people think is irrelevant is protected by public incredulity. So only the puny secrets are protected or revealed or not protected. They're tossed around. It's real easy to go into this stupid meme information world and talk intelligently within their limited parameters they're allowed to do. You know? You actually get to a point where you know where all stories could lead to. One simple and big insight is, for the post-information environment, if there ever was something really serious going on, they're not going to tell you. They can't. The people would panic. So you can't even be informed when it matters. So if you're looking to be informed on the important issues, never going to happen in the newspaper world.
That's the first rule.
They ain't going to tell you. And so most people know that, so they go to the behind-the-scenes reports, the alternative news behind the news things, and there's millions of those giving you different versions of what really is going on, because we all know it's being hid from you. And then what they don't know is that it's pure physics. You must have a cover story. You must have a simple level of, yes, we're still human, we're still here, and go to work. You know what I mean? That's the surface is stronger than any depth
information.
Illusion.
You maintain that illusion because it is incredulous to think that it's that
over.
Real, that level of deception.
Yeah, or it's that over. So, I mean, there's no point in law or education or politics or nothing when you really see clearly. And that's why Ayn says there's nobody is following the rules. It's total anarchy out there. No one follows the rules in anything. So, let's see what's next. Another point there. So the good way to sum up, the Android meme, the News Information Society, is not talking to you. What's remarkable, we've had to deal with that world that hasn't been talking to us. I call it the machinic. For 30 years, and who would have fucking imagined that something would show up to whoop its fucking ass? See, that's amazing that little David Ion could show up and whoop this Goliath of nonsense. Or nonsense. Or machinic obsolescence of humans. Right? Who would have believed it? And that's why you guys are happy. You're here long enough to realize, holy shit, we're actually going to get somewhere.
Yeah, because
if you're if you're not, you're going to be very depressed and suicidal. Because your natural human desire to have meaning, like Nate's trying to have meaning in his art creations, is something that's very hard to give up. And very upsetting when it is threatened. Okay, so...
And Bob, it's always at this point in the conversation that I just it knocks me off my keister. It blows me away every time because you've had this lack of perception for so many years that it's hard for me to even conceive that you've looked at the media like this for 50 years.
Right.
You know, it's you've evolved over that course of time, but I just...
You wondered how I lived? You wondered how I lived?
To imagine having that perspective for that long just knocks me back every time.
Well, if I just continue not getting trapped in life situations, then I continue being happy, like Ian says. So I stayed out of any cages in my media life for 30, 40 years. You know, that's why... You can live off that. You can survive the meaningless bullshit of everything if you've got autonomy, but most people can't get to that step. Very hard to get to that.
So in a relaxed way, you continued to explore the meaning of the citadel of our consciousness.
Right.
Or what
I engage the information.
About.
Now, I keep my mind, one-third of me, going, and it's enjoying itself, you know, minding things, looking and reading this article, you know. Okay, so, under the rules of this reality series, which media consumers turn into a gigantic hit every 4 years, collapsing in front of a cell phone camera at a 911 memorial service is more important than a dozen position papers. Okay, so he was complaining last month that... the media was not being, what are you saying? They're being hypocritical. They're being lying. Oh, yeah, they're being propaganda. Well, these people he was complaining a month ago, they took, as journalists, reality seriously, the political world, and they said, Trump looks like Hitler. We must stop him. They're being serious journalists. But he says, they're not doing it right, but they're still like him. He's still here demanding some kind of serious level from the consumers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stop being duped by this content distraction. So he goes, so Hillary collapsing, her lung problem, it's more important. It just is. Hillary collapsing under the rules, turned into a gigantic hit, collapsing. I don't know, it just is. You proved it when you clicked on that video of the episode last weekend and didn't read a compare and contrast piece on, for instance, the candidate's banking policies. Okay, we're talking about that video, the one that showed her clicking. So a million, billion people looked at it, right? So here is the newspaper complaining about the TV reality. It says it's the meme battle. You remember McLuhan said that Watergate was a battle between newspapers and television over the advertising dollar. It was a battle not between the plumbers and Nixon and that. It was a media dynamics happening, media competition. So because the TV had taken over a more important role in the newspaper, newspapers went underground. They did the underground newspaper thing and tried to topple the president. So
you ignored the content.
Right.
The reader ignored the content.
Did you say beater?
The reader.
Reader.
Said you.
So it proved it when you clicked on that video, and you're supposed to read something on the banking policy. Now, there, he still thinks there's fucking possible banking policies. They're not when you got fucking Deutsche Bank going under, and I got an article on that. I was going to run by Ion. But who's going to read? See, what incredible naivety. I'm not even going to say it's Matt Tabai. This is the stupid newspaper meme, a living fucking meme, having a tangent because no one's liking the newspaper fact. Right? This is my witness here.
His argument
I've actually
so
never. This is a good rant by me. I've never had the opportunity to explain this media as actors the way where this article is evoking it. Trump himself is feeling the business end of that dynamic right now, having just reversed himself on the birther question in spectacular fashion. See, he thinks it's important that you have to stay true to whatever you said before. And then he quotes Trump. Yes, Obama was born in America, but Hillary started the birther controversy and I ended it. That's a good way to... and the newspaper meme can't believe that the chip TV body called Trump is so blatantly one-upping the rules of the newspaper world. Yeah, he doesn't recognize that the game is being fought in different arenas now. There's not one central arena. So you can go over this arena, go to Madison, Wisconsin, and run your own game there and claim you're winning it. Whereas stupid Matt Taibbi is stuck, or the newspaper media is stuck in New York City with that arena. I didn't know that he said that. If he did, that's great. Obama was born in America. Yes, that was wrong, but Hillary started. This is something like I would say. This is so Bob-like. If you think what I say is bullshit, I do this kind of bullshit all the time, right? I cause it, and I have to say that. And you ended it, Bob. Are you saying that to me today? Bob, you cause it, you're going to have to end it. The fucking responsibilities I have for you, fuckers, you wouldn't believe. It's like Ion said, you don't want to be Bob. It's a tough fucking meme to be the dark soul. Okay, so his routine, says the newspaper meme, is dumb enough and full of enough lies to keep reporters busy for a good news cycle or so until the next fiasco. They can't believe the newspaper meme can't keep up. You have to type paragraphs in that fucking world. You imagine writing all this thing out? You got to have the right grammar. Are you still with us, Nate? Maybe he got knocked off. We better check the. Nate. What, Nate? Why do you leave? You shouldn't. We're telling this for your benefit. You fucking leave. That's disgusting. Even I can't even keep an audience. I mean. And putting all this mental effort in. But anyways, it's a tremendous thing I'm saying here, so we might as well continue. We'll find Nate later. F-I-N-E. We're going to fine him for AWOL, going AWOL. Actually, it's a long article. Okay. But it's sort of interesting, isn't it? The way he's like crying like a little kid. He has to go back to the humanist newspaper values and say that that's what he's defending, right? And nobody else is doing it. Okay. Where are we at? You watch the video, you creep, you watch the video. And then Trump lied again, but we don't have to study it too much. He's going to do a bigger lie next week.
Yeah, his routine and he says, is dumb enough.
They're going to be investigating this lie for a news cycle. That means 24 hours. That's how much they'll do research. Then there'll be a new outrage. They'll have to research that one for 24 or 40 hours. Then on the next one. Though these guys, how can they even do a job as a journalist? You know, how can you take yourself seriously in this situation? And it's been this way for a long time. It's just now entered the heart of the Android meme, presidential politics. An important news story, or 10. So he's saying, there's an important news story. Look at that fucking stupid newspaper meme claiming, trying to fool me into thinking those four words mean something. An important news story or 10 will likely die on the vine while the country obsesses over Trump's latest foot-in-the-mouth episode. You know, Matt Taibbi, he made a point last month where he got mad at his fellow newspaper people. He's retreated back to stupidity here. He had nowhere to go. He can't really go beyond that, complain about his journalists. He can go back and pretend it's like a subculture of an issue of what's the truth. That's the paradox of this candidate.
Like, Bob, it's like there's not enough content in this presidential campaign on either side. So he's pulling out an article from 4 years ago and complaining about the same things, just changing the words a little bit.
And so when you look at Phoenix Way, can you see it repeats itself all the time? He was showing this process.
Sure.
He was showing this, predicting it. Nate's back. Nate's redeemed himself. You were going to be
fine,
leaving. You know, you can't leave when I make this effort to fucking and tell you something, Nate.
It knocks me off. It's happened
three
times in this call already.
All right. So that's the paradox with Trump. Even the people who wish he didn't exist can't take their eyes off him. See, the reason they can't, because he represents a new hidden ground that people are really watching. They're not watching silliness. They're trying to figure out what is this rearview mirror phenomenon illustrating in the mystery landscape, to put it in complex words.
Yeah, that's the thing, Bob. This article, I mean, they're missing the entire point. That's not the new part of Trump. You know, Trump doesn't. That's not what's new with Trump.
The new part is that he's becoming presidential and becoming constricted. That's the new part, right?
Yeah, I mean, his responses might be new. There might be new, where it really doesn't matter what comes out of his mouth. That's so obvious that he's just playing to his audience, or just whatever comes out of his mouth falls out of his mouth at the moment. There's no sense to make of it.
You can't even say he's playing to his audience. He's a fucking automatic meme generator. You know, it's not human what Trump is. See, so you can't think there's somebody thinking things through. He is a automated presidential surrogate who's a superlative nobody. But then the superlative nobody has run its course, so now you have to be a superlative genius and still have the vacuum effect.
For years and years and years, important news stories have died on the vine because of somebody obsessing over something or someone. That's not new in the media.
Right.
And like Perot, he says, even the people who wish he didn't exist can't take their eyes off him. Well,
right.
I could say the same thing about Perot or Ventura or Reagan.
He's forgetting, and some people will say this, the electoral, the colleagues, the elite, have to pretend there's an election. And every 4 years, it's hard to come up with something new to shock people, to make them pretend, oh, this is something worth fighting over. This is a very important election. So they put Trump in just to fucking stir it up. That's one detached view, those that don't get involved. So this is just a scam, you know, to make the election interesting. That's one of the detached views, right? But we're old Matt Tabai can't take that view. That's called conspiracy theory or something.
Well, he wouldn't.
So there's a real limitation.
He wouldn't have a career anymore.
Godard, the famous French filmmaker in the 80s, said he doesn't bother making beautiful movies anymore. He just makes second-rate movies because no one else is doing a first-rate job. He says you just can't get a first-rate hamburger. That's pretty honest. I'm not going to ever go out of my way to make a super artistic movie. I'll just sort of half-wing it and phone it in because I'm not wasting my time doing it. I am a famous director. I got to do a little bit. So I'll do that. He admitted that I'm just going second rate because everything else is second rate, and that's the world you're in, Nate. You got to come up. You got to deal with that shit.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the whole. I'm getting outside the rate thing. I'm just like, I'm not even doing a first rate, second rate thing. I'm just doing a new thing. I'm creating my own scene.
Right, and what I say to that, Nate, is that's just distraction from your fascination and can't keep your eyes and ears off of me and Ion. That's where the real action is for you. And in between, while you wait for the next show, you diddle around and pretend you create something. All right? So
yeah, I hardly
you realize
like
we're the only people on the fucking planet, the most creative thing.
Yeah.
You know, and nothing else can keep up with it. I mean, we're actually going to do what everybody thought they might try to do once or twice, save the world, but actually have somebody to actually pull it off? That's never been seen before. So you can't.
It's funny, it's coming out in the music that I'm writing, though, too, like lyrically, because I think that there's something to be said about music and how people connect to it without. You can sort of trust it and not listen to what the person's saying, and you can establish a relationship and a bond with it. And then when you listen to it, it's like a lot of the things I've been writing lately are very ionic, just naturally. That's just what's coming out. So in my own way, I'm adding a log to the fire too.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter if it burns.
Right. And and we welcome it, though I think it's total bullshit what you just said, but it's okay. There's nothing wrong with living bullshit. That's all we got now. And I'm looking forward. Did I click off the thing with the chat line? Maybe I accidentally clicked that off. I don't see it.
What,
that's
Studio
A?
That's
a dragon. You have to bring it back up. So I was just going to try to look at the chat line and see if anybody's saying anything. But
hey, Bob, why do you think what I said is bullshit? I'm curious.
None of your business. You wait around to find out. You remain fascinated. We'll explain it sometime.
we'll
tell you someday.
I can imagine people hearing stuff like that in a song and having it be like a little easier to digest than I'm hearing, you know, non-physical speak to me. And it's like that. It's like a mini, mind expansion. Like I was saying, like how. This is totally like the edge of what's of what is. Like, we're here. We are the only people anywhere, you know? And we're everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I feel like something like a song, and not that that's my mission, like, I don't think anything, like, there's no obligation I have to anyone. This is just what is coming out, because this is what I'm mulling over and thinking about and living. And I think that people hearing that, there's a chance that they could, you know, stretch a little, start thinking of some things in ways that maybe they weren't before, that are like almost an on-ramp.
Right. I don't know. Too many words.
Well, you know, Bob, here's an idea.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. You're putting meaning into what you're doing. Sure, go ahead. No problem.
I'm not even saying that. I'm just more trying to contrast the bullshit remark, because I want to know why you think it's bullshit. And not that I don't think it's bullshit, because I think that any obligation to anybody, it's not like I'm making it for other people. So that's why, like, in that way, if I were to be making it for that purpose, then that is bullshit. I agree, but.
No, but see, you think
I'm just curious
point
as to why that
I'm saying,
came to mind.
You've got to have both views. It's not bullshit to do it for other people. It's not bullshit to do it for yourself. It's neither. Both, in between, can't stop you anyway.
I think that's honestly where I am, I guess. But, yeah. So whatever, we can move on. I was just curious as to why that was your reaction.
It's dangerous to take us seriously, you know. Ind them seriously, because we're threatening everything. Ind does.
Yeah.
Everything.
No, it is dangerous. You're right. But it's also like thrilling.
Yes. This is the best stuff is always that way. It's curious, adventuresome, and exciting, and couldn't live without it. Even though you probably will die. You'll probably not do well. Jesus. Okay.
What is do well though? You know.
Right. That's right. What is it? I don't know.
It seems like the only people that are left in my age group, Bob, are cynics.
That's cynical viewpoint, right.
Because we recycle over and over again articles like you're reading and see the futility of it, but don't have any other perspective to look at. And the youth, if there's any youth left after Trump, they are fodder for that to go into that cycle, to fall into that cycle and be righteous about their opinions. But I used to say in my worky job at some point, it was the 30-year-olds that always changed the words. And it was to frustrate the 50-year-olds because we had all the lingo down, but now the lingo was different. And so I've always wondered if there's a sweet spot in that age where you feel like you know enough to change the words. So is, you know, maybe Nate's just trying to use his own words to, I don't know, get a handle on having no perspective.
I think it's more like for me, it's like an expression of no perspective. I'm not really trying to get a handle on anything. It's more like this is just sort of what is filtering out. But I'm interested to hear if you have more to say. I didn't mean to stop you there, but I just wanted you to know.
No, that's okay. Just simply put, we still use words to express.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm curious about your age group taking in Dobbstown theory in contrast to my cynical age group. I think, you know, I agree now, Bob. The majority of my age group is very cynical because we've recycled this futility for so long that you become cynical.
Yeah. Yeah, it's boring being an older baby boomer. You people,
it
you're,
used to be.
Yeah, you. Yeah, until you get Ion, you're fucked. It's going to become a boring idiot.
Then you have no age,
die.
Or you're all ages.
No, I'm 94, and but I obviously am not limited chronologically to infirmities of 94-year-olds. I mean, I live like a 50-year-old, half my age. So I'm not the no time part. That's maybe over now. I don't mind being someone here with time. I can put that on for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's things to enjoy there.
Or not, or, yep, both, always both. Okay, so I finally got my chat line up, and not much happening there. Gene posted the article. Yeah, there's not many people reacting to us.
Yeah, I found
it. Okay, do we know who Wheels is?
I don't.
No.
No, we don't. Okay, so the important news stories will drop. That's the paradox with this candidate. Even the people who wish he didn't exist can't take their eyes off him. No amount of contextualizing or pointing out his flaws and deceptions can walk back his gravitational pull on audiences. Now, you get that. He represents the present. As much as the present can be known, they are looking at a new figure representing some interesting new ground, and that's what people are fascinated by. The ground has shifted, and we have a symptom showing up. I guess it's like picking at a rash or a pimple all the time. We're picking at the Trump figure of something new's happening. And people can't believe something new's happening because they're all cynical by the time they're 10 years old, because too much of the same repeats itself in all the big media environment. They don't notice the subtle little changes that are pretty neat. So the big view for literate people or semi-literate people, Gene, is, oh, yeah, nothing's happening. That's,
yeah.
And then something starts to happen. Okay, so he says, this is true of a lot of dumb things that take up space in the news pages, from Joe Arpaio to the Kardashians. One could argue that the users of the public's airways have a higher responsibility to properly inform the public that outweighs the need to chase ratings and give airtime to clown acts. But that ship sailed a long time ago. So see, look, he's admitting it all. What he's writing about is obsolete. So what is he going to save and pretend there's still an issue? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
said the ship sailed a long time ago.
So what are you doing still writing an article?
Right.
Yeah, what's this got to do with Trump and Clinton anymore?
That's right. And I think that's Corbyn's sleeping. Ask any reporter who's tried to make the news. Well, we don't need a. Why do I have that open? Let's close that. No, Corbyn's not here anymore. It's either Eliza or Daniel that's snoring. Okay. Well, Eliza snored before.
It's
and
not
she's
me.
Listening to the Arca. Whoa, we
there
finally got Eliza to speak. Why the hell are you speaking after 5-7 hours? Where you been?
Because you guys are just talking and...
And you're not interested. You can't talk unless it's Ion.
No,
Eliza's fascinated by Ion. She's hypnotized by Ion. She can't talk to other humans. She's too fascinated by Ion. So don't think about. Okay, you showed up right in time to illustrate the point that Matt Taibbi fails to make. Okay. One could argue, ask any reporter who's tried to make the news less stupid at any time over the past 40 years. So look at that. Now he's claiming this has been the situation for 40 years. Most of those people end up begging something called ProPublica for lunch money. I guess that means they end up writing for some nowhere place. While the horse racers and celebrity humpers get panel shows. Boy, he's really falling. He's becoming like an old addled mind here. Ask reporters like Juan Frey, who struggled to get anyone to pay attention when he reported on the mass graves of undocumented immigrants discovered along the border of Texas. Well, look at us, man. We got the second coming. You see me complaining that we don't get anybody's attention? No.
No.
We like the fact we get nobody, that we only get Eliza and other working welfare bureaucrats. That's all we get attention from. They got no power.
People snoring.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's right. Yeah. We have press conferences and we admit people are
stories. Yeah. I guess they don't have that.
Praise Eliza for providing it. It was you snoring, Eliza. You can't deny it.
No, it was not. No,
well, fucking pretend it was. What are you trying to hide? Why
no,
don't you pretend it
I'm
is you?
Pretend.
Yeah, you believe in truth, you fucking limited, unascended little girl.
I just prefer Dan.
It's okay. He's just balancing out the conversation. He's just providing
We're providing
balance.
Fair balance here. Or false balance or some fucking thing. To nobody, because that's amazing. I've got two people talking here. Even though there are thousands listening, we have a huge audience in this world and other worlds, but they ain't calling in. They're just watching Bob pretend to drown with no audience. And they're pretending. And Bob's pretending he's got a problem, right? Okay. Let's see. Set stories about the mass
death. Snoring is my
mourners.
Favorite part.
Yeah, that tells us a lot. That's the hidden ground. The silent majority. Okay, so they have a photograph here of people.
Thousands of people snoring.
Yeah.
In another world.
Okay.
Most of them female.
Yeah, most of 80-year-old cynical baby boomers that are not going to vote this year. They're too disgusted with it all. They're not going to even listen to anything about it. They're going to move to Canada. Okay, such stories about the mass deaths of Eliza and other ionauts usually get less ink than a cat stuck in a tree or a model who falls off a runway. But lack of balance doesn't seem to bother too many people in that instance. This is what he doesn't understand. I've been explaining that for 20 years. You must have lack of balance. You must remain a particular mythic angle that people can say, that's me. You have to make TV shows based on astrological signs. You know, you make shows that, you know, Geminis will like, shows that Scorpios will like. That's what he's objecting to that. But lack of balance doesn't seem to bother too many people in that instance. It only seems to come up when the victim is a major political party with basically unlimited ability to buy its own publicity. So he's saying what? That a big meme like politics does get attention where they demand balance. Media consumers voting with their eyeballs for ever dumber political coverage creates the biggest imbalance in reality. But the false equivalency debate is mostly over a separate, more parochial issue of journalistic ethics.
Ethics.
Right. The essence of that debate is whether or not it's appropriate to write negative things about Hillary Clinton when there's a possibility that Donald Trump might become president. Or rather, we may say negative things about Clinton, but only if we always drape reporting and plenty of context about the worstness of Trump or something. Okay, so that's part of the propaganda that he was saying last month was a problem, that journalists weren't being really honest. They were just making sure that Trump looked bad regardless of what story it was. So, and then they're calling that false balance. So he says no. Is he going to say, look, people, stop trying to balance things. Just become blatant propagandists that I objected to last month. Is maybe what he might be leading to. So he says, there's not much to say about this debate apart from the fact that it's phony and absurd and that the people shrieking for balance are almost always at heart censors who are really concerned with keeping a view of the world with which they disagree out of the news. There are two basic ideas. Now, this is complex, sort of makes sense. I'm not going to go into it too much. You half understand what he's saying. There are two basic ideas of how the press is supposed to operate. One is that the system works best when reporters are free, independent, and annoying, giving the public as much information as possible so that people may sort things out for themselves. There's the fucking newspaper celebrating its archetypal purpose, right? We're here to bug you, and we're not going to reveal our sources and all that sacred stuff. He's falling back on his own mimic meme. The other is that information is inherently dangerous, and the public is too stupid to be trusted with too much of it. Throughout history, there has always been a polarity of people who will believe this. So that's sort of like tetrad management. Whether it's keeping fuck the police as a phrase off the airwaves, or news of the collectivist famine out of Pravda, the idea is the same. People can't handle stuff. No, it's not they can't handle. They get bored easily, and they like to get titillated by something different. You want to listen to the radio,
yeah, they
you
want
to watch TV, you want to
watch
clean up your... What?
They want to watch Unreal.
No, they want to use their senses. And there's more than five senses. There's 14 senses, if you include all the bodies. They just want to engage their senses, like we're doing now. I'm providing something for you to listen to. And then you talk and provide something for me to listen to. I'm engaging my ears and my extended ears. There's nothing about whether I can handle reality or not. If I can't handle, I fall asleep. I'm protected. So he's trying to say that there's a debate, and it's the wrong debate. But he's taking it too seriously. He thinks there should be a correct debate. That's where he's wrong. Right? He thinks there's something that's worth debating. The giveaway in this latest false balance debate. See, this is where Finnings Wake is so accurate and prophetic. Way back in the 20s, he made a book that showed the chaos of the information environment and the falling asleep of everybody and the irrelevance of any point of view or any truth. I mean, just created the book to do it, and nobody believed it was a real book. The giveaway in this latest false balance debate is the language. There are people wailing about a weaponized media that just this once needs to be leashed a bit, given the circumstances. This is classic, quote, information is dangerous rhetoric. There are even, There are even people in our business using this high-pressure situation to argue for less access and transparency in the name of keeping future generations of politicians safe from the prying eyes of the public. Most reporters view their jobs as being basically the opposite of that. But you got reporters so fucked up and mixed up, quadriphenic, that they're actually advocating, let's not be reporters. Because you know what that means? You're so involved with so many other bodies and other media environments, you're responsible for them. So actually, you can't be a specialist. If you're a listener to us, you also have your job in whatever else you do in other societies to take care of all this other shit that someone should be monitoring. You're not allowed to fall asleep. Nate thinks that music must keep going. We must keep the world of art music happening, even if it's just for Nate. Nate must keep it going for himself. Right, Nate?
Well, I don't think that needs to keep going. It's just what...
You agree with me. It's just a sensory operation. Just using your senses.
Yeah.
You're going to use your ears. You know that line, I've got a small brain and I intend to use it. Well, I've got no musical creativity ability. I'm nowhere near zapping, but I intend to do it anyways.
And you intend to use it.
Yeah. I created non-physical, extended into a new environment, and I intend to fucking ram it down your throats. And you'll like it. Okay. In truth, the media landscape...
Or you can just go fall asleep.
What?
Or you can just go fall asleep or not listen.
Right. In truth, the media landscape is massive, and there's room to cover everything. It's worth noting that the exploration of Trump's iniquities and unfitness for office in the last year has been truly awesome, both in terms of raw volume and vehemence of tone. Now, that's interesting. No one has been exposed as much as Trump and still win. Talk about showing the obsolescence of information, right?
Mm-hmm. Nobody cares.
He's actually impressed with the exposure of Trump by everybody, by all his colleagues, because it's a massive and there's room to cover everything. Anyone who tries to argue that there's insufficiently vast documentation of Trump's insanity is either being willfully obtuse or not paying real attention to the news. Oh, how do you pay real attention to the news? There's too much to notice. It's a massive landscape, so he's contradicting himself again. Just follow this latest birther face plant. The outrage is all out there in huge quantities. It's just not having the predicted effect. See, this is the Bible fucking text to show we're in a post-information society. He's going through all the subtleties of it, proving it. And he's wondering why. Why could this be? So media consumers are reduced to blaming the closeness of the race on a species they've practically made extinct with their choices over the years, investigative reporters. So they're blaming investigators. Now he's going to blame the people, his audience. The irony is the Clinton Foundation thing is a rare example of an important story that is getting anything like the requisite attention. The nexus of elite connections that sits behind tales like Bill Clinton taking $1.5 million in speaking fees from a Swiss bank and foundation donor. While that same bank is seeking relief from Hillary Clinton's State Department is exactly the kind of thing that requires the scrutiny of reporters. No, too much, as McLuhan said, nobody lives today without a conflict of interest. You're too involved with too many contradictory memes or bodies to stand sacred to one of them. You get that? An important point. This is why Ayn comes forth and says, forget your mind. It's not going to work anymore. You use your mind to talk shit if you actually get someone to listen. Or you enjoy your silence and walk around, don't talk to anybody for 2 weeks. You'll survive. You just listen to yourself talk.
That's what this journalist is doing.
Right. He's writing this article for himself, and he gets paid for it.
Yeah,
doesn't compute.
He's saying that. Okay, this is interesting how he has to run up against the fact there's no news to be reported. He keeps saying, yeah, that's the case. And he says, no, the news is we must do something about this horrible news fact. He's hoping.
Stop whining
he's hoping it exists. Yeah, he's hoping there's still something real. Is there somebody out there? All right, well, I abandoned him years ago. If Bob doesn't pay attention to you, you're fucked. What'd you say?
I said he said, is there somebody out there, he says, into the mirror, you know?
Yeah. The mirror says, you're lying eyes. The mirror says, we're fucking obsolete too. Don't use mirrors.
Don't look at me.
Yeah, don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
Yeah, this is getting to be a pretty good rant. We could sell this one. Bob, on his pinnacle of perception. Bob, look, Bob analyzes the death of everything. This is particularly true since his charity is a new kind of structure. I guess the Clinton Foundation is a charity. This is particularly true since the charity is a new kind of structure with seemingly new opportunities for conflicts and an innovation that is likely to be replicated in the future by other politicians, perhaps even a future President Trump himself. Such investigative reports on the mechanics of political influence are also exactly the sort of thing that media audiences routinely ignore, unless by some lucky accident they happen to be caught up in the horse race drama of a campaign reality show. So people ignore the nothingness by putting on some after image of something. And that's what my chart shows, the after image or holopathic replay of radio, TV, music. All the media and scientists are after images that create wealth. And be damn happy that people, for the content, are engaging delusion. But it's not on the formal level, it's just engaging your senses.
It's meaningless.
Or yet meaningful. It's very meaningful, everything is, because your senses are making it while you engage it. You know, why should I look at the whole big picture of emptiness when I can go and let the wind blow through my hair? Right? Why don't I call up Ian and talk to non-physical just for the hell of it? Just for the sensory interaction. That's what, not the hell of it.
That's what I did.
Sensory interaction. Yeah, that's what we're doing here. So
yes.
He ends by saying...
we're reading this article like feeling the wind blowing on your face.
Right, and I don't feel it's purposeless to have the wind. I enjoy the sensation. Well, I'm enjoying the sensation of thinking about this article.
Sure.
So if your complaint about these reports is, quote, why now at this crucial moment... I don't know what reports he's talking about, his own report, or I don't know what. There's a very good answer. If these stories came out at any other time, you'd be blowing them off. Now, we don't know whether he's talking about important stories or just the stupid stories. I can't tell what. Well, he is. Okay, he is talking in the previous paragraph about an investigative report, so maybe he means serious reports. So if your complaint about these serious reports is, why now at this critical moment? There's a very good answer. If these stories came out at any other time, you'd be blowing them off, and probably in favor of The Biggest Loser, another TV show, or a show about people eating bugs for money, which brings us back to the key point in all of this. See, a show about people eating bugs means there's so many different sensory experiences one can have when they live in this realm. One of them could be eating bugs. It's just that all of us getting advertised or taped.
Mm-hmm.
Endless variety.
All is recorded.
And he says, okay, all is recorded, right. Which brings us back to the key point. Now, what's he going to say is the key point? He says, I'm as worried as anyone else about the possibility of Trump getting elected. So look at that. He is admitting he is doing what he objected to being done last month. He didn't like people bashing Trump and being propagandists. Well, now he's saying that I agree with those guys, but I'm not sure how to be a journalist. So he says, but if it happens, it's not going to... He says, if Trump becomes president, it's not going... Oh, are you saying what I said?
No, about his last statement. Finish the...
Well, no. What is the last statement?
His conclusion is finding the person to blame or who to blame. He's
right.
Ending it by saying it isn't the reporter's fault.
I didn't see that. He just said as worried as anyone else about the possibility of Trump getting elected. That's all we've read so far.
No, go ahead and finish. I'm reading.
Maybe you knew where the next sentence was going.
Ahead.
I did say a few words into the next sentence. Maybe you picked it up. And he goes, but if it happens, Trump gets elected, it's not going to be because the New York Times allowed a few reporters to investigate the Clinton Foundation. It'll be because we're a nation of idiots who vote the same way we choose channels without thinking. Now, see, there's the old, everybody, I think about that all the time, everybody, especially in North America, is going around saying, what a bunch of idiots everybody is. You guys spend half your day talking about how stupid humanity is, okay? This is natural in our condition. So he's fallen back on the biggest cliche of mental activity ever. To say we're a nation of idiots is not saying anything, right?
Yeah.
We're a nation of hedonistic geniuses. We know how to have a good time. Not idiots. It'll be because he's assuming it's a bad news. If Trump getting elected is going to be great. It'll be because we're a nation of idiots who vote the same way we choose channels without thinking. Ah, see, he's all for thinking. Whoa. He'd never make it in. If he came on our show, Ian would just eat him up constantly because Ian would know that he's into thinking. You sometimes hear that. Sophisticated people come on and Ian gets real cold. You've noticed that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Smarter you are, Ian says, uh-oh, we got a thinker here. The worst kind of human. Meanwhile, Zappa's saying, why don't you reward your kid for having a mind? That's what Zappa said in 1967. Kids in high schools are not celebrated for having a mind. Well, that doesn't work anymore. That's not. You've got to have a different kind of mind nowadays, a non-mind, a paramind, something that's very hard to figure out. Anti-minds, all kinds of shit. Basically, you've got to start thinking.
Yeah, I wonder, what do you think, is there any interest in the juxtaposition of no mind and anti-mind?
No. Don't try to get... You're trying to get me thinking. I'm not falling for your fucking thought piece. And I thought that up just now. A funny response. I just thought that. Claiming the content of not thinking. But this fucking article makes no fucking logical sense. You know what I mean? He ends up saying that we're a nation's idiots. Well, wow, I wasn't reading it to be told that. He failed to tell me something, other than all that
basically
I said he was
said,
telling
stop
me. Whether
whining, stop whining about false balance because you're an idiot.
Yeah. Everyone wants to blame reporters for the rise of Donald Trump. How about the media consumer? Okay, so a month ago, he went after the media producer, the journalist, and how they're fucking it up by being Bolshevik. Now he's gone to the other side and blamed the media consumer. Jesus. Yep. McCune called that blowing both horns of your dilemma. And that's why we don't need to read anything, because the newspaper only can present a dialectic. It can only go back and forth, because literacy is not a photograph. It's not as encompassing. It's not a great music. So we're listening to the anemic world of the newspaper. Pleading for what?
The zombie of the newspaper.
Right.
Groping
the automatic
for
zombie.
And moaning into the mirror asking, is there anybody out there?
Is there anybody who will look at me and my media meme as something of significance? No. You are as isolated as the
Please
human beings
describe.
The newspaper meme killed 100 years ago. They killed people. The media itself killed people. killed human scale.
You're
right. Yeah, what were we saying, Nate?
Nothing. Wasn't
Come on. That's just a bad thing. Everybody's an idiot. We don't care what your thought is. Just say it.
I don't. My present thought is that I don't remember what I said.
Come on. We're going to wait till you remember.
Listen.
Yeah, just make it up.
We're not moving until you remember. So practice retracing. Retrace your thoughts. Yeah, look, it's too much work. Well, I do create absurd discussion. This is looking. Anyway, listen, what the fuck are these people talking? What's Bob talking about? You know, we're saying new words, new patterns here, and even when we get people saying, "Well, I'm not going to say nothing." I can't remember it. I'm glad I can't remember.
Oh, yes, you are going to say something.
I will. Yes, I have no problem with carrying on the delusion.
No, I was speaking as if you were saying that to me.
Right.
What were you just talking about then?
I was trying to retrace,
but it'd be easier to go.
Whining, false balance, the media consumer versus the media producer. And last month he got mad at the media producer, the journalist. This month he's mad at the media consumer. And they're a dialectic intertwined phenomenon.
Yeah. Oh, I think it was the zombie thing. I think I was just adding another thing to the zombie joke.
You want to add something about the zombie theme? Go ahead. Can't remember it?
No, I don't remember what it was.
Well, that's what I mean by Android. It's automatic. Technology is automatic. It's robotic. So I call it Android to evoke the cliche of some automatic zombie.
Mm-hmm.
See, what's great is that there's so much good stuff on YouTube, say, that I don't have to watch the news. I got a lot of other stuff to watch. There's so much, you know. You can, if let's say, you know, 50 years ago, you didn't like the news, there's just two or three stations that maybe you didn't like what they offered. You'd be stuck. Then you have to take up golf or something. But I can stay here, and there's endless content, especially Ionic stuff being thrown at me. So.
Yeah, you can make anything out of anything.
Me, Bob, in particular.
Yeah, you,
yeah.
Bob.
I have a talent, finding meaning anywheres. McLuhan said that one night in the seminar. Some French art critic snob was saying, you know, he finds the world meaningless. This is 1978. And Marshall just says, oh, geez, I find meaning everywhere. Temporary, little tiny meanings, little nano patterns.
Mm. Wind in the hair.
Beg your pardon?
I said wind in the hair. That's meaningful enough, just that your senses are...
Yes, the wind in the hair, right. Disengaging my senses. And McLuhan even said that at one point.
Article,
I intend to use... What?
I was just going to say, and this article is just a fart in the wind.
Right. And he gets paid for it. Probably gets paid well.
Lunch money.
Yeah. Okay. So, we now will record. Let's get fucking real here, right? Let's play Ion's Deluded Rant.
Get fucking real.
Yeah, let's get fucking real. We're going to bring in the most unreal thing in the world, Ion, to present reality. Yeah, that's pretty good.